can be conquered in our life. Amen. If you want to grab your Bibles, I'm going to read out of John chapter 5. Verse 9. It says, "Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Beautiful." Or Bethesda, I'm sorry, Bethesda. "Having five porches, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another step down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath." Amen. Everyone could be seated. To put a name to it, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Now, in those days, in the Old Testament days, things were a little different than they are now. A little different in the New Testament. You had Jesus walking around and he healed people everywhere he went. He did stuff. Turned water into wine, did miracles. Blessed people. Touched their lives. But now is a time in today's society that seems like the church has gotten so comfortable, so laxed, that you can even go to apostolic churches today and they don't even move. And in today's society, what they're trying to do now is blend the world in with the church so the church looks more glamorous to the people and they can get more people. As I remember, I seen a guy that used to preach at this church that I used to go to. He was an evangelist and he was from Kentucky. And he lived it. He wrote songs, he had CDs. He went all over and preached. And I seen him on Facebook and I was like, oh, cool, and I took the friend request and all right. But the thing that stunned me the most, which when on Wednesdays we come a little more casual because we sit down, do a Bible study, we eat food. But you're still in the house of God. And it blew me out of the water as he had this little video on there, and I was like, huh. And he's walking around praying. And from knowing who this person was and the life that he lived, it took me off guard to see him in a t-shirt and shorts on the platform to fit into every other church category. And I'm thinking, now wait a minute, you used to live a certain way. And I text him, and I said, did you get away from a holiness standard in your life. He said, no, I did not get away from a holiness standard. He said, from much praying and much reading, I tell the people you have to be covered from your neck to your knees. It doesn't matter what you wear. Okay. And this is happening all the time. This is happening all the time. But I believe there's a people that still believe in a changed life, that still believe when they came to the church, that they come here because this is a place where you get changed. This is a place where you get delivered. This is a place where you get set free. This is a place where you can find hope. This is a place where you can find peace. Yes. This is a place where the God does. I'll get it out in a second. God doesn't look at me and look at someone else differently. He looks at it all of us as His children. That if we're all covered in the blood, that we're all sealed with His Spirit. Well, let me backtrack a little bit so people understand me, or people understand me. When you get the Holy Ghost and you speak in tongues, and the Holy Ghost is living in you, then you are sealed with the Spirit. I just want to make that clear. This ain't Trinitarian Pentecost. So I just want—I that's church I came out of, and that's how they believe. But we have so much stuff going on in today's society and today's life. That man sat there, and every time he would go to the gate, he couldn't get in because no one would carry him. And then until Jesus came along. Now, the interesting thing is, when you came to an altar, or you could have been at your house washing your dishes, and you were praying, or you were laying in your bed like I was, and you were praying to God, and God filled you with the Holy Ghost, and God changed your life, and you spoke in tongues for the first time, and you had, as I call it, it was like electricity running through your entire body, but you couldn't explain it. You just know you had something that was alive and powerful, like you just hit a plug-in switch and you didn't know what to do. And it was 2 o'clock in the morning and I started calling people because I didn't know what to do, but call people and tell them. They were waking up saying, huh? Man, I got to tell you something. You see, you get the Holy Ghost by praying to God, by moving, by doing something. In today's society, we want everything. I'm not saying this church. I'm just using this as an example. We want God to do stuff for us, but we don't want to move for God. I think Brother Rice was saying it. If you prayed about it more than you complained about it, ain't that what you said? If we pray about it more than we complained about it. You know, in Acts 3, 1 through 9, well, I'm not reading 1 through 9, but there was a man at the gate called Beautiful. That's where I was messing that Beautiful up. And Peter and John were walking, going into the temple. And the man there was asking for alms. He was asking for alms. He needed healed, but he was asking for alms. And Peter and John fastened their eyes to him, and he was hoping that they were going to give him something. But what they were going to offer him, he wanted money, but what they were going to offer him was so much more greater than some money in his pocket. And they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Rise up and walk. And it said that man went to get up, and strength got into his legs, strength got into his ankles, and he got up because he was lame. He got up and he started walking. We can be a church that just sits there and watch the miracles just roll by. Or we can be a church that does something about it, that talks to God, that seeks the face of God and watch what God does. You see, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but he climbed that tree because he couldn't just see him. And once he climbed the tree, when he seen him, when he hooked his eyes on him, then he said, there's Jesus right there. And what happened? Jesus went to his house. But he was determined to climb up there. If he would have just stood there and just watched him go by, would Jesus have just walked by? Or we would have turned around and said, well, Zacchaeus, you wee little man, let's go to your house and eat. I had to throw that in there. I hope no one's recording this. I mean video. The lady with the issue of blood said she had to get to Jesus with all the crowd. But what? She made it through. And she knew that if she could just touch him, she didn't have to touch him, just touch the hem of his garment, she would be okay. That she had an issue of blood for so long. What are you going to do? What are you waiting for? What problems do you have in your life? What situations are burdening you? What's holding you down? What's keeping you from getting a blessing from God? What's your shackle that you just can't break free or break loose? Is there anger in your life? Pornography? Alcoholism? Nicotine? Chewing tobacco? We all have something that burdens us down. We all have something that holds us down. And because we have faults and we have problems, we refuse to get up. We refuse to go to the altar. We refuse to raise our hands. We refuse to praise to God because we feel that we're just not good enough to get up and go to the altar or to cry out to God because we have this sin. And as the great saint has gone so many times, and I think I've even said it, when I get right with God first, then I'll come to church. But God's not looking for you to get right first because it'll never happen because it's the power of the Holy Ghost. But it's you come to church messed up and then God will get you right from the inside out. But it's going to take a hungry heart and a determination. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 it says, for he says, I have heard thee in time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I can't even get my own handwriting. I'll just put it on the bottom part. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That tomorrow's not promised to us. Whatever your hang-ups are, whatever you've gone through, it does not matter. You know, when I went to that men's retreat, me and Brother Hogan were sharing a room, and so he was telling me his testimony, and then I think we had some coffee afterwards, and then I started telling him mine, and I told him how when I got all drunk and messed up, I got in a fight with three cops in my house, and I swung on one, and I believe I asked him before I went to bed, knowing that he was a cop, you don't hold it against me, do you? Because after someone's been a Marine, been a cop, if I'm sleeping, I'm going to get hurt. But you know, I say that to say this. If he wasn't in church, if he wasn't changed, if God didn't fill him with the Holy Ghost and do something in his life, then yes, as a cop, someone could hold a grudge because that's a brotherhood. You offend them, you offend them all. But I mean, I knew he really wasn't going to do anything to me, but it was just a... There's no better time, brother. Confession's good for the soul. Just saying. Get the oil, pastor. But what are you waiting for? What motivates you? What pushes you to live the life that you're living? What pushes you to come to church every day? You know, to me, it's a wasted life if you come to church for 20 years but never hit the altar, never talk to God. You just wasted space on a pew and you just wasted God's time. But if you look at it as you're broken and you're in pieces and God specifies in broken pieces, He can work with broken pieces. He can put broken pieces together. You see, if If you're perfect and you have everything figured out, like some of the people in the Bible, they had it all figured out. They had the right clothes, the right suit, and they were the religious people of the time that Christ couldn't do nothing with them because they knew it all already, and no matter what he said, it wasn't good enough. And when he didn't find it wrong to make himself equal with God, he blasphemed. And they were ready to crucify him and put him on a cross and hang him up and beat him and do whatever they had to do. Because they didn't want that kind of talk because they had it figured out. People had to come to them and they were the priest. But now you have the priest that was walking around that if you had leprosy, he could heal it. If you were lame, if you couldn't talk, whatever it was, he can take care of it for you. That he specializes in them kind of things. That broken pieces are what he likes because he can take broken and make beautiful. It's a diamond in the rough that we might not see it right now. But when we get to heaven, we're going to see something beautiful. That he spent that time because you got down in prayer and you said, no matter what, I'm going to reach God. Because God's going to do something in my life. That God's going to change my life. That he's raising up an army and he's looking for all of us that are going to stand there and say, no matter what, I'm going to die for you and I'm going to serve you, that you're my God, that you're my Savior, that you're my King of Kings and my Lord of Lords, that you're my great physician, my Rose of Sharon, that I stand on you because you're my rock that won't falter, that won't leave me, that you're there forever with me, standing with me, and when I'm in battle, I can go to you in prayer and you will lay a banquet before my enemies. You are my God and my rock and my salvation. Too many churches, they want to come to church and they want to meet the rock, but they just don't want to follow what the rock tells them to do. They just want to go and fit in and let God do everything. But there's a part that we have to do, and that's pray, talk to God, read your Bible, fast, witness, try to win people, bring them to church. There's a job for us to do. The church ain't going to fill itself, but when we humble ourselves and seek his face, he will pour out his spirit and he will draw all men nigh unto him. But it's the Spirit of God that's going to bring them into this church. You know, I thought about something and I could have allowed it to hang me up. And Brother Bryce said it took him a year to get the Holy Ghost, and he could have quit. And he could have backslid. He said, oh, God must not want me. How come someone can come one day, walk through the door, hit the altar, and God fill them and they speak in tongues? And you're thinking, man, you've been coming all the time. You've been seeking God. But it's God's timing. Now, I don't know about him, but for me, it took me 5 years. 5 years to get the Holy Ghost. And I can say, what was God's fault? Man, he messed up. He wouldn't feel, he didn't want nothing to do with me. I must have been a wreck. But what I learned, it wasn't God. What I learned is I had stuff in my life. I had stuff in my life. And no one's perfect. I'm by far perfect. I have my flaws and I have my faults. And if I get pushed right, we all get mad. And I got to put myself in check because my anger was my biggest thing. I have to put myself in check. When the kids go all haywire and crazy and you just want to blow up on them. And I've caught myself before and I've had to apologize because they just, boom, just, you like you gave them sugar and they were the Tasmanian devil and they were destroying the house and just running through it. And you tell them to stop and they just keep on going and take something and throw it at you. I mean, they just go to the extreme. I'm not saying my kids did all that, but I'm just using that example. I'm just saying, my wife gave them some zingers the other day. And then my daughter come in and drank my Dr. Pepper. I said, go outside and run. Go outside and run. Don't go in the front yard. Stay in the backyard. Go outside and run. Because that will get my last nerve, and Daddy will go off the edge. They went outside and ran. And they had fun. But you know, I realized in my own life that the reason why I didn't get the Holy Ghost for 5 years was because I had stuff I needed to deal with. Now, I will tell you something. I went to a revival a long time ago, and I was up there praying. Me and my buddy, we went to this revival, and we were up there praying and had my hands raised, and man, I was trying to get a hold of God. And afterwards, the pastor said, Did you hear yourself speaking in tongues? And I said, no. I didn't hear it. And that hindered me because I didn't hear it, but the man of God's telling me he heard me speak in tongues. But for 5 years, I went to church doubting, did I get it or did I not get it? Did I get it? Did I not get it? My anger issue. My fighting issue. Everything. But when I learned that we're not perfect, that God is perfect, that we're going to go through life, and yeah, you're going to get mad, and you're going to get upset, and you're going to foul up, and you're going to trip. But keep coming to the church. You see, it's when you come to the church and you get the preached word of God and you come to the altar and you talk to God and you ask Him to change your life. It's a work in progress. Just because you fouled up doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you're human and it's a walk by faith, not by sight. It's a walk by faith, not by sight. I think, and this is myself, speaking about me, the years that I've been in church, is majority of the time I didn't go to the altar myself when I was first in church because I knew the faults that I had. Matter of fact, Natasha was little and we'd be at a revival service and I made sure I held on to Natasha because if I held on to Natasha, no one would ask me to go to the altar. And my friend would come up to me and say, let me hold your daughter, man. Oh, no, no, it's my daughter. I got her. Come on, what are you scared of? God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. God wants to change your life. You can't hide holding your daughter every time we come to a service and go to a revival that God's going to get a hold of you somehow. So you can stand here and hold your daughter, but eventually you're gonna put your daughter down and you're gonna raise your hands and you're gonna seek the face of God because you're gonna feel something that you've never felt in your entire life. He's not looking for perfect. He's just looking for faithful. And when we're faithful, He can do something with that. When we fall, it's not the fact that when we fall, but when we fall and we mess up, how long does it take you to get up and stand up and keep on moving for God? That's what it's about. When you get up. Because you know what? When you say you go to church and you're living for God and God changed your life, people are waiting for something to happen in your life. The world is waiting to see you fall. They're waiting to see you just mess up and fall flat on your face. And as they stand back and they sit there and talk about you and say, yeah, they ain't going to church no more. Oh, I bet they messed up. But when you can get up and you can kind of brush off your knees and say, I'm still going to the house of God, they're going to respect you. You know, just like the lady with the issue of blood, just like Zacchaeus, just like Joel. They all had excuses. They all had reasons. They all could have come up with some story and many more stories in the Bible of why they still didn't want to live for God. Why they didn't want to live for God. Because all this stuff happened. When King David was dancing before the Lord and his wife was just ripping him down, he could have been like, oh, you're right, honey. This is a joke. I'm embarrassed. I danced and my clothes fell off. What a fool, I'm the king. Just like there was a church service, and I don't know where the church service was at, and there was a big old revival service going, and the preacher was standing right there, and he felt the power of God hit. He moved chairs out the way, and he went running through his entire church, and there was a couple thousand people there, and he went back. I've told this story when I first preached here before. He went back and sat down, and the devil was just ripping on him. He said, man, who do you think you are? You got a big church, you got a revival service going, and you got up and ran? Aren't you embarrassed? You just embarrassed yourself. Then people are looking at you. Man, you might as well just quit the church, walk away, and just come follow me. And don't worry about Jesus Christ. And he had his head down, and the devil's just beating him up. Now, this is a true story. The man was just beat up, and he had his head down, and he's questioning. No, I felt the Spirit of God. I moved because of the Spirit. I just didn't move to move. I felt something, and so I moved. And I thought God was going to bless it, but the devil's beating me up. Let me tell you something. Anytime you get blessed, anytime you move for God, anytime you do something, the devil's going to attack you. He's going to tell you it's a lie, but you just stomp him back down to hell and you tell him you're a servant of the Most High God. That man was sitting there all distressed and all messed up. Thousands of people in the congregation. He went to get up. When he got up, his Bible fell, opened up. It says, "Thou hast run well. What hinders you?" Do you think that guy questioned again when he felt the Spirit of God and he went running the next time? No, he doesn't. Sometimes we put ourselves in a category because you're a minister or you're a pastor of a church that you shouldn't run or you need to just keep calm and be politically correct. I'm the most unpolitically correct person. If God tells me to run, I'm running. If God tells me to cry, I'm crying. If God tells me to dance, I'm dancing. God don't want preachers to think they're different, but he wants preachers to be the example and set the path. We all have something that holds us down. We all have some kind of weight in our life. And sometimes we wonder what it is and we question and say, "Why, God? Why is this going on and why is that going on? God, I need a blessing from you." Can I tell you something tonight? When you're going through that and the doubt's creeping, let me tell you what. The devil is involved in so much that a lot of times I think all the devil has to do is just twist something just a little bit and he stands back and he watches the people destroy each other. Because that's all he has to do, just a little bit. You know, I seen a thing on Facebook and I thought I seen a miracle because it said the Democrats and the Republicans were working together in Illinois to keep the coal mines and power plants alive, to keep them going because they didn't want them to shut down. Democrats and Republicans working together. Come on, if that can happen in the politics, God capable of anything. But think about it. We all come from different backgrounds, different lifestyles. We grew up different. We were disciplined different. We had different jobs. We had different lifestyles. We all did different stuff while we're out in the world. Some might have hit the bottle and some might have stuck a needle in their arm or some might have been in prostitution or some might have been in gangs or you just don't know what it is in your life. And we all have these weights that hold us down and sometimes we just don't know what to do. But we come to church hoping for a change in our life and when we walk in, we're waiting just for one person. We already got it in our mind that when we come to church, we're not going to go to the altar. We're going to sit back and as far back as we can and we're waiting for one person to look across at us, not even shake our hand or maybe the pastor didn't see us just to give us an excuse to walk away and go out. And like it was said, you know, pastors, there's good pastors and there's bad pastors. There's good and bad in everything. And you know, I've seen some good pastors. I had a pastor that preached against alcohol and smoking cigarettes. And then I took my car to his house and we was looking at his garage. He was working on his car and he had beer cans lined all the way up and he ate Tic Tacs to hide the cigarette smoke that he preached against all that stuff. But he did all that stuff. Now what's that tell someone like me that just got in church? Man, why even go? Bunch of hypocrites. I can drink my alcohol, smoke my weed, go get in fights, go do everything I want to do, and it's okay. This pastor does it. Not brother. I'm just pointing. Now, this was 20-something years ago. This was 20-something years ago. And it wasn't an apostolic church. An apostolic church still believes in walking the line, still believes in a standard, still believes in a separation, still believes that, you know, Guys go in guys' bathrooms and girls still go in girls' bathrooms and guys don't put on dresses and you get what I'm pointing. They have a line that they believe that they need to walk, that it was justified back in the day to live this way by all denominations, but then for the pleasing of the people they've changed to suit the people, and they're growing like fire. That they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. But we all have something in our life that we've always fought. That we always fought that it makes us wonder, is there a God? Does He love me? He died for me. But did He really? We have so many questions. And the one thing I love is that when we come into this church and when we're praying and the music's going, that you can feel something. You can have all the questions you want. You can wonder if God's real. You can, if He really died for us. Does He really sit on a throne? And is the heavens His throne and the earth His footstool? But when you come into a church and you feel His presence. I mean, I'm sorry. I know my pastor's a praying man, but me just sitting by him and having a conversation is going to be different than if I got on my knees and started praying and God swooped down and touched my life. The hairs on my neck are going to stand up. It's not about who you sit next to. It's not about who's who in the church. It's about our relationship with God. That when you feel the goosebumps, you're going to come back. You might miss a couple of services, but you're going to come back. Why? Because it got your attention. It got your attention. Amen? Now think about this. The church has always been alive. And the reason why the church has always been alive is because we have a living God that's dwelling in us, that's changing us. That we all have weights. Maybe it's just me, though. Maybe it's just me. That we all have something that we go through. And it doesn't matter what it is. You might have drove down the street and seen a pretty girl and looked at her and said, oh man, I'm going to hell. That girl was pretty and I looked at her. It could be anything. You could go to the restaurant tonight after church and overeat and say, man, I'm a glutton. I'm not going back to church. We all have, it's really funny when we think about, oh, I overate or that's going to take me to hell. And we know it's... But we come to church because we need something from God. But we come to church because He changed our life. We come to church because we feel that we have a family that's going to be there. We come to church because we feel at any time when we're in distress or something bad happens or someone in our family passes that we can pick up the phone and call the pastor or call someone in the church and say, hey, I need prayer and I need this and I need that. But sometimes we get it stuck in our mind that even though we're going through something, or maybe we've been in church for a long period of time and it would be embarrassing for us to come up to the altar, or you're a minister and it's embarrassing to go up there. What are you going up there for to go pray? You're a minister. You shouldn't have sinned. Someone done lied to you. Ministers mess up just as the church folk that ain't behind the platform preaching or singing or teaching a class. But we all have something that usually digs into us, that the devil is every day, he's trying to tempt us and he's trying to mess us up and get us down and want to quit church. Can I tell you something though? When you get down like that, when you go through trials and tribulations and you're in the gutter and you don't know
know what to do, and you're just stuck, and you're wondering, God, where are you in this situation? You come and you sit in church, and you don't even do nothing, and you're not even really talking to God. You're just coming because you just want God to bless you and do something in your life, and you come and you leave disappointed, and you come and you leave disappointed, and you see people go to the altar, but you're too scared to go to the altar because that stuff's just got you dragged down, and you don't know what to do because you don't want to get up because someone just might know the sin in your life, and you just stay down, and God's telling you to get up. God's telling you, come on. God's saying, I got something for you, that you push off, just like the lady with the issue of blood, and you go to that altar, that you climb that tree, you get all the over God, that you climb that mountain, no matter what it is, that you believe that the power of God is going to get you over the hump of that mountain and going to get you to a victorious. What's your mountain in life? And what keeps you from climbing that mountain? Is it our own sin? Or is it that we don't think we can do it? In the flesh, you're not going to climb that mountain by yourself. But if you want that blessing, if you want God to move on your behalf, if you want God to change your life, if you want God to fill you with the Holy Ghost, you want to get baptized in Jesus' name, you want to do something, you call on Jesus and you climb that mountain. And when you start getting weak, you keep on calling on Jesus. When the devil's coming at you, you call on Jesus. You keep climbing that mountain because you know what? When you keep climbing that mountain, you're going to get over it and you're going to keep going and you're going to keep going, but you're going to be a witness and a testimony for God Almighty. And they're going to say, how'd you do it? It'll be by the power of the Holy Ghost in my life. I got over that mountain, and I'm going to keep going over that mountain. And it's, when you've been in church for 20, 30, 40 years, don't get comfortable. Don't get stagnant. Don't just sit there, because if you think the devil's not going to attack you, he will attack you and he will try to bring you down as fast as he can. But you keep claiming on to the name of Jesus. You keep praying in the Spirit. You keep getting a hold of God. You keep climbing that mountain because it don't matter. The devil don't care if you're white, if you're black, if you're old, if you're young, if you're strong, if you're weak. You climb that mountain and you seek the face of God and watch God be victorious in your life. We all come up with different scenarios or different excuses of why we serve God and why we don't. There was this lady that we know, her and her daughter, and they said, Terry, I want you to talk to this guy. Said he's a very, very smart guy. I mean, he said he was in the military and I don't know where all he went, but he was in the military and he fought in different areas, and he was a younger guy. But he said, or she said that, but he'll ask the question, is it justified to call yourself a Christian? Join the military and then have to take a life if you're in war. And so this was his excuse for why he really didn't go. He believed there was a God, but he didn't want to go to church because he felt it was contradictory because he joined the military. And I've never got to talk to the guy. I met him just a little bit at a birthday party. There was a birthday party that we went to, and we didn't get in a conversation. But can I tell you this? And if the music come, I'm about done, but if I can tell you this, don't let nothing of the world, nothing of your past, a circumstance you're going in, keep you from having a relationship with God. Don't let it drag you down, but lift your head up. The Bible says you can come to the throne boldly and talk to God. That just because we go through stuff doesn't mean we're bad people. We're just people that need a Savior that can take care of us. That only in Jesus Christ can we have salvation. And in only in Jesus Christ can we be forgiven. And in only in Jesus Christ can our sins be washed away in the water. And only Jesus Christ can fill us with the Holy Ghost and change our life.
I never want to be in a situation in my life where I feel that I've messed up so much that I'm too ashamed and too embarrassed to come to an altar. That I'm man enough to know that if when I mess up, and if I mess up bad, I can come to the altar and I can ask God to forgive me. And I can ask Him to forgive me and change my life. But you know what God's going to do? He's going to say, I already have when I was on Calvary. I've already forgave you. It's done. Don't let little hang-ups take away your blessing from what you're going to get. Heaven's too important to miss. A relationship with God's too important to miss. Amen? Amen. The altar's open. You have a hang-up. You got something that bogs you down, but you still come to church faithful. You still seek the face of God. The altar's here. There's people that will pray. And I'm not saying anyone does. I'm just saying we all go through trials. We all go through stuff in our life. Come here. Give it to God. And use that as a testimony to change someone's life. That you've been bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb. Don't let your life go away on the wayside. Let God be victorious. In your weakness, God's strength is made known. Amen. Amen.